The Ebola outbreak has forced the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention into overdrive. About 100 staff members are in West Africa. Hundreds of other employees are working at the agency's Emergency Operations Center in Atlanta. Still more are working stateside to protect Americans from Ebola or just picking up extra work so their colleagues can focus on that disease. Ted Pistorius is a management officer for the CDC's National Center for Emerging and Zoonotic Infectious Diseases, where his focus is on the center's employees. Emily Kopp caught up with him at NIH this week at a conference where she was speaking about the ways supervisors can support their employees. So Emily asked Pistorius, how is the CDC supporting these employees? What concerns you most about their well-being?
What concerns me is the longevity. I mean, we're preparing for the long haul. What concerns me is how do you engage people in emergency response for 12 months, 18 months? People are working tirelessly. People are giving up weekends. People are giving up nights. People are giving up family time and other extracurricular activities, which I think are important to their personal well-being. We work kind of for the component of compensation and self-fulfillment so that we can provide for these other things in our lives, which we want. And when you work so hard that you don't get any of that, I know I have less time with my family. I know the people that I work closely with already, you know, the time that they don't get to spend with their husband or spouse, their concerns about their children and how they're going to, you know, the women that I work with, many of them are mothers. There's still an expectation they're going to put food on the table and laundry and, you know, all this. So we can do a lot of things for brief periods of time. You know, we had the MERS response. We had the unaccompanied children's response. We've flown right into this response. So we have some people who have actually been actively engaged in outbreak response for over 6 months.
And what's typical?
It's a very good question. What's typical? Normally, when we activate our emergency operations center, one of the first things I ask is, at what point will we know when we're going to disengage? When is it over? What's our completion? So I always, it's not to say that's a military stance, but what's your exit strategy? Now, we're going to activate. That means 24/7. We have various stages. And so we're at stage one activation, which is 24/7, which we've done for Hurricane Katrina, and we've done for H1N1. Those are the only other two times that we've done that. So you could see what an end result was in that. This currently is so open-ended, and the epi curves are so disastrous at this point. I shouldn't say disastrous, but daunting. It's hard to see the end, and then also given the notion of infectious disease and the manner in which this is transmitted, that we can't pull a product off the market, we can't deploy a vaccine, we can't offer, you know, right now, some semblance of a cure. We can just do education and isolation and do the absolute best we can, which we know is going to take an awful long time to turn that curve. So the end point, obviously, will be when we don't have the transmission. The end point is when we have 21 days of non-transmission in an environmental area or a geographic area. And that's very, very difficult. And so part of my role is to try to tell people, go home, stop, take the weekend off, disengage, spend time with your family, take leave. I'm concerned with the holidays are coming up. You know, we just had Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which are holidays for many of our staff, and now we're going to come into Thanksgiving and Christmas, and I personally volunteered to go overseas during the month of December to make sure my staff, I can't believe I'm getting emotional about this, but so that they can have time off. It's important, and it's hard. It's very difficult. CDC is full of overachievers, hyperachievers, superachievers. It's hard to get to CDC. They excel at what they do, and they want to be engaged. They aspire to be on the front line. They aspire to change people's health and outcomes. And it's difficult. It's how do you tell people who only know how to work hard to take a little time off?
And, of course, it's for their own health, even though there is a crisis raging, that they take care of themselves. Are you, other than going over yourself and sort of being in their stead, is the CDC able to do anything, mandate anything, or push people to take care of themselves other than just saying, please take the weekend off, or please don't check your email when you're not assigned to?
Can we make? The whole notion of, you know, I try to stay out of mandates. Those aren't nearly as effective as encouragement. You know, I think it's working with leadership and trying to make sure that they have cognizance and awareness, and they do. Dr. Fried and on down, they're acutely aware of the extraordinary efforts that they're receiving. You know, we just did flu vaccines last week, and they actually set a record, but we had an extraordinarily high response rate from CDC employees who are coming to get their flu vaccine. So there's still recognition that, you know, you have to stay healthy to be healthy. I mean, we're encouraging people to sleep, encouraging them to take, you know, breaks, encouraging them to exercise and work out. And you know, you have to maintain your health. You can't help others if you're not well. And I think everybody kind of gets that. But it's an uphill battle, and I don't know that there's an end in sight. But, yeah, I'm going to try to avoid mandates. You know, you catch more flies with honey, right? Not that anybody at CDC is a fly, but I want to work with them, not in opposition to them.
At this conference, you gave a presentation about the ways that supervisors can recognize employees. And you had results of a survey, mm-hmm. right, where it showed, you know, pizza party versus an attaboy versus these type of things. What have you done so far with these people who've been working on the Ebola virus? Which ones of those have you done?
Basically, it's just it's championing. It's going on. My big thing has been kind of an attaboy. It's been kind of being a cheerleader. It's making sure that when I participate in groups that I recognize the work effort and behavior that's going on, trying to take the time to just say thank you, making sure that when I send emails, I don't just get into the stream of the email, but actually put the person's name, making sure that I take the time to actually say thank you at the back end, trying not to put mandates on that just aren't reasonable. But we have tons and tons of things that are going on. We need a response by 2 p.m. today because, we haven't had a pizza party yet. We, but in my mind is what will we do? How will we recognize? How will we champion? And how will we commemorate? I think it's important. It's a historical component. Deploying kind of a historian to kind of collect some of this information and what's going on. Actually, one of the positive things is we've stood up this aspect of going to the quarantine stations. So I was very involved when we did the same thing for SARS. So being able to go back and say, we did this then. This worked, this didn't, et cetera, and trying to, make sure we don't repeat some of those things. And I think there's a little bit of positivity in terms of that. So I have every intention of doing my absolute best to recognize as many people as possible. The other aspect is it's been almost everybody, especially in my center. So the other thing which I have to do is also make sure that when somebody gets deployed to the EOC and then somebody else has to remain back, that person who remains back kind of has to do twice the work. So I also want to make sure I'm recognizing those folks who you haven't been deployed, but you've still been acutely engaged. So I have to also be careful that I don't also just kind of, congratulate those who did go overseas or those who did go to the EOC, because every person left behind has worked just as hard. So we'll probably do some very broad-based celebratory things, recognition things, but it's going to be a little bit of time. We can't pull people out now. But also, on the other hand, a lot of leaders, they take things over. There's no shortage of food in the EOC. It's the small things. And basically just telling all my supervisors, please make sure your staff understand your appreciation and your recognition. And I think my leadership understands that, and they're participating in that. But it's going to be hard.
And give me a sense of the workforce, how many people you have on this.
We have a little over 100 people who've been deployed overseas, and then we have well over 300 people who are in the emergency operations center. The EOC also, we're doing rotations, so nobody's gone for more than a month right now. We have had some of our people in the emergency operations who've been there since we've stood up, but overseas, most of our folks go in for a period of time and then come back out. And then we do an awful lot. So once they've been deployed, and this is very important, we bring them back through EAP. So when they get back, we do kind of just sit down and check with them, because they've seen some extraordinary situations. I mean, literally people dead in the streets, just the emotional trauma of being associated with such an epidemic and the impact it's had on so many lives and families. So we make sure that we engage with them, make sure that they know that we have resources and services. We check in directly with them. That is almost a mandate. You have to, there's an expectation you will participate. We also do the wellness checks, so making sure that even we don't believe that anybody's been exposed, making sure that they do get fever checks, knowing what exactly they need to do should they feel onset of infection, which we haven't had, but how to self-isolate, who to notify, what the steps and processes are. We have contracts in place with Emory Hospital, so we could immediately isolate if we had to and provide care. We haven't had to activate any of that, but we have all those things in place. So before people deploy, lots and lots of active engagement and training, and then when people come back, lots and lots of active engagement on their personal health and well-being, as well as with their families.